Welcome to Paradigm Shifters, and our Paradigm Shifter, our visitor today, is somebody who's been shifting paradigms for quite a while with a process called the Reconnection. And I'm reconnecting with him because we talked to him a few years ago, Dr. Eric Pearl. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for having me.
I'm just really excited to hear what's going on. I was reading some of your material and was reminded, can you tell people what the Reconnection is and how you broke into it? And then I want to go further into what's been evolving with it since you've been presenting it for a few years.
Well, reconnective healing is a new level of healing that takes us beyond just the energy healing approaches that we've had on Earth, shall we say, up until now, into new aspects, new levels of light and information not seen previously and not accessible through energy healing techniques. We think, according to the scientists, that the reason that we're able to access this new level of light and information is because there is no technique in reconnective healing. As a matter of fact, the gift of reconnective healing is that it allows us to completely transcend our energy healing techniques. Now, as we know, everything here has been energy. Your energy, I'm energy. The tables and chairs are energy. Everything has been energy, and that's what we've had in our four-dimensional existence. But today, time is expanding. Time is moving faster in all directions at once. So where we used to believe that we were three-dimensional beings of height, width, and depth, we now understand that we are beings of height, width, depth, and time. Mm-hmm. And in these four dimensions of height, width, depth, and time, we had still been living in the old world of energy healing approaches and techniques. So we would focus in on subsets of the energy that was here. And we would give them names, Reiki, Jure, Jinshin, all the different techniques we've had. But reconnective healing came in and showed up to me when I had no background in healing or energy healing techniques. So,
but you were a chiropractor, weren't you? Weren't you a chiropractor?
Yes, but that's not an energy healing technique. Energy healing techniques are Reiki and Qigong and Qinxin and Jure. So I wasn't doing what you'd consider to be energy healing techniques. Of course, everything is energy. Chiropractic, of course, is energy. So is acupuncture. So is massage. And all of these forms are also healing. But there's a distinction between energy healing techniques. Those are approaches where you move your hands clockwise or counterclockwise, or you bring in energy from the heavens or from the earth. You use this set of symbols or that set of symbols. You use wands and crystals. And those are the energy healing techniques. So I had no background in that. The science, what happened in short was I went home one night thinking I was a doctor of chiropractic, as I'd been practicing for the previous 12 years at that point, when a few strange things happened. A lamp next to my bed turned itself on and woke me up. I felt as if there were people in my house. My bedroom door, which was closed before I'd gone to sleep, was suddenly open. I thought that someone was watching me, and it was very strange. It was like waking up into a strange movie, and you don't know the script.
Were you scared?
So I walked around through the house. You know, I was a little... How can I say this? I was a little uneasy, meaning a little uncertain of what was happening. And when I thought about it on a human level, that it felt as if somebody, a person, was in my house watching me, that was a little uncomfortable because, you know, that you immediately worry about your safety.
Mm-hmm. Really?
When it started, when the consciousness started to expand, that I felt that I had been being watched, but it wasn't feeling so limited to a human being. It went from that awkwardness to a feeling of awe and wonder. I knew I was in the presence of something large as I started to see that. Because when I went into my office on Monday, my patients started having very similar experiences. They were feeling as if they were being watched, as if someone was in the room. They were seeing colors they'd never seen before, smelling flowers they'd never smelled. Their fingers, their feet, their arms, their legs went into involuntary movements, involuntary muscles in their face, started moving their nose and their cheeks and their eyebrows. It was all a very interesting, fascinating, comfortable feeling for the people. There was nothing fear-based or frightening about it. And that's when they started demonstrating healings. They were getting up out of wheelchairs, some of them, vision and hearing returning. Children who had previously had cerebral palsy or epilepsy and seizures and needed medications suddenly didn't need their medications, weren't having seizures. They could walk and run and play and speak normally. Not everyone, of course, just like with medicine, not everyone has the same healing 100% of the time, but a significant number of people were having these very significant healings. And so researchers, doctors started calling me, researchers started coming in saying, can we study this? Other people started asking me to teach this. And I said, I don't know how to teach this. I'm not sure what it is. I started letting the scientists study it. And they were the ones who said, it seems that you're bringing in something new that we haven't seen here before. Light and information levels we haven't witnessed. And we think the way that you're able to do it is because you're not using techniques. You're not focusing in on subsets any longer. You are accessing two things. Something that's always been here and something else that is timeless but new. And I said, what do you mean? And they said, well, the first thing is by releasing technique, you're allowing yourself to access all of the energy that's been here in our existence. So imagine, for example, that you are living in a huge, vast, endless, multidimensional universe. And it's not just your imagination, you really are. So I continued to listen. They said, but the part of the universe that you occupy is only four-dimensional. So they said, so visualize in this huge, vast, multidimensional universe, there's this giant balloon. The balloon, the wall of the cell, the outside of the balloon is comprised of height, width, depth, and time, and everything inside has been energy.
Right.
And your healings, by not having technique, are accessing all of the energy that's been here. Now, that's the first part of the gift. And that's a tricky part for people involved in energy healing, because they've been trained to use and focus in on portions of the energy by their techniques.
So you're saying, but it's like confining it. Are they confining something that is huge? Is that it?
Yes, they confine it, they reduce it. It's like if you look at the entire heavens, all the stars in the heavens through a telescope, you can only see portions of it. You need that telescope, the technique of the telescope in the beginning to start to understand it. But then once you do, you put the telescope down to apply what you've learned to the bigger picture.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're trying to study the, you want to understand God, love, and the whole intelligence of the universe, spirituality, the techniques we use are religions. You look at it, a religion of Christianity or Judaism or Islam or various sects of different religions, and it's like looking out of multiple windows. But even if you look out of all the windows, the views are limited by the window frames and further limited by the walls that are needed to support the window frames, to support the windows.
Hmm.
So the true gift comes from studying, maybe looking out those windows, but then it comes from all of us stepping outside beyond the windows, you know, and joining hands, having a party outside where we can see the whole picture. The only person who can't see the whole picture is the person who joins the party with their window frame. So what happens is, the scientist said, A, there's no window frames, there's no techniques, there's no training wheels on the bicycle, and that's good. But I asked, what makes this new? They said, what makes it new is that the era that we are living in we've discovered that time is moving faster. And I said, what do you mean time is moving faster? Because, you know, faster, how could anything be faster unless it's measured by time? And they said, well, time is moving faster, not from point A to point B, but in all directions at once. So time is actually opening up and expanding. In other words, visualize that balloon in which you exist as expanding. It's getting thinner, more sheer, more permeable. In essence, it's disappearing. And suddenly, you are interacting in a more multidimensional universe. The balloon disappears. Time, we are recognizing today, is actually becoming, well, it is already an illusion, and our evolution is to for us to allow ourselves to recognize it as an illusion so we can function more timelessly. And that's what seems to be happening with reconnected healing. That's probably why the majority of reconnected healings tend to be what appears to be instantaneous and what appears to be lifelong. I'm saying, well, what do you mean they appear to be instantaneous and they appear to be lifelong? He said, well, they're actually happening, occurring outside of time. From the illusion of our time perspective, we think they're happening immediately or instantaneously, but really they're happening faster than that. They're happening immediately. And the reason that they seem to be lasting for a lifetime or forever, as long as we can see them and follow them, the healings team will last, is because they're not affected by time, because they don't exist within time. And ultimately, they become a lesson for us when that we don't exist within time.
Well, how do people, let me see, how it's almost, it sounds to me like people have to awaken to its presence and have an increased sensitivity to feel it. Is that right?
Something seems to, yes, kind of. It's very difficult. For us, it's very difficult for us to put into our language here, because our language here is linear, and we're describing a concept that happens beyond four dimensions, so it's no longer linear.
Okay.
What happens is that, A, you have to interact with it somehow. Once you come into contact with it and interact with it, it seems to, you could say, awaken something dormant within us, including not just maybe an entrainment of frequencies, not just an activation of sorts or an attunement of sorts, but it seems to awaken a timeless awareness within us, something that's been dormant, a dormant ability that comes from awareness, and a dormant awareness that comes from accessing ability. It's cyclic. It's a cycle.
So it's kind of activating us as a vehicle. Is that it? Activating us to be more of a frequency being instead of physical?
You know, the way I used to think of it was this. Their computers used to have what we call parallel ports.
Okay.
To receive information, to talk with, you know, other computers and machines. And later on, they would change to USB ports. Now, these parallel ports communicated with all the units out there, but the newer, at that time, old now, but the newer computers coming out of that time had also USB ports, although we did not have USB available to us. Okay?
Okay.
So it was as if the powers that made the computer knew what was coming and made the availability of it present for everyone before it arrived. So once it arrived, we were all easily able to have that port activated and used. We are here ready to become and exist on a more multidimensional level. The God, love, and the intelligence of the universe, choose the word you're happiest with, sees and knows now is the time for this evolution. So as we allow ourselves to access these frequencies, we are activated. We're moving from serial ports to USB.
And so you're saying we're aligned to be in touch with this at this point. We're aligned to exist with this.
Right.
Okay.
We are. And what's happening is slowly, or not so slowly, more and more people are being exposed to these frequencies and the healings are picking up much more quickly. Mm-hmm. For example, it used to be that when I would give presentations on this work, I would bring someone up with a physical problem to the audience.
Okay.
And I would demonstrate a healing with them.
Right.
Well, today, what I'll do is I'll usually bring someone up who has had no experience with reconnective healing. Maybe a child is 5, 6, 7, 8 years old.
Okay.
Or someone who got dragged to a presentation on reconnective healing who doesn't even believe in it.
Resistance.
You know, the partner of somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I will show them how to feel it, how to become aware of it, how to play with it. And then we'll bring someone up from the audience who could possibly use a healing. Maybe they have a physical problem that's medically documented that, you know, is easily visible for the rest of everyone to see. And we'll bring that person who didn't believe in it or that child who has no experience with it up and have them facilitate the healing, because it's getting faster and faster to be able to access and learn.
Hmm.
We're teaching it through new expanded programs. When you attended the seminar a few years back, that's what we were teaching, seminars.
Mm-hmm.
Now, to give more people more time to experience the work, familiarize themselves to the work, and learn subtleties and nuances from many different aspects in a more relaxed atmosphere, we've changed from the seminars that we used to teach into training programs. So where we used to teach the entire, what we call a seminar, starting with a Friday night and all day Saturday and Sunday, now we've expanded the seminar so that we teach Friday night for about 3 hours, where we talk about the history, the theory, the science, the philosophy of the work. We bring up volunteers in the audience, not only to demonstrate the healings live, but also we allow everyone to feel this in their hands, and we start to teach people how to do it on that Friday evening. Then we continue into that Saturday and Sunday just for level one of the seminar, where, let's say, if you attend the seminar, as you know from some of your experience in the past, you'll stand at the head of the massage table. Someone else will lie down on your massage table.
Mm-hmm.
We will walk around to you and show you how to find the frequencies, how to feel them, how to play with them, how to work with them. And you will witness right in front of your very eyes the person on your massage table go into involuntary movements of their fingers, their arms, their legs, their eyes. Then you'll trade places with them so you get to experience it. The teaching assistants and I will come around and take your hands and show you how to access this. Then you'll trade places, of course, for your experience. Then we'll go back to the chairs, talk about learning more. We'll go back again to the tables and practice newer levels. We'll continue that through Saturday and Sunday. And by the end of that time, all of that time is really devoted basically to self-healing and learning how to take care at a given level of your immediate friends and family. You know, you don't become a professional reconnective healing practitioner from that level, but you learn how to take care of yourself and your immediate circle of people.
Okay.
On that Monday and Tuesday, we move into the more professional level, we call level two, which allows you to actually become a practitioner if you so choose. And of course, you might not choose to become a practitioner. You just might want to choose to learn it at that highest professional level.
Mm-hmm.
What we'll do is we'll bring in volunteers from outside of the seminar so that you can work on people you don't even know and they don't know what to expect. We'll teach you how to do it via distance. We'll teach you how to work holographically. We'll teach you how to set up your own practice. We will teach you ways of subtlety and nuance that seem to be very small that actually create an infinite number of huge, powerful chakras where you start to bring about dramatic changes in people that you haven't been able to reach before, but you get to immerse yourself slowly and relax into it. So you own this work, what it is, how to talk about it when you come out of there with confidence. So it's a very different, expanded experience than what it was before. But it is something that is spreading around the world in a dramatic way. We've taught close to 100,000 people so far around the planet. The book, The Reconnection, Heal Others, Heal Yourself, is an international bestseller in 39 languages. We train close to about 20,000 mainstream doctors, nurses, physical therapists, but we also have taught about 20, 30,000 masters and grandmasters in the energy healing field, and the other 50% of the people are everyday people. Husbands, wives, kids in school, truck drivers, executives in banks, and anything you can imagine, including kings and queens and government officials.
Well, I mean, have you taken it to the Congress?
Well, Japanese Congress.
I just keep thinking, boy,
Japanese
boy.
Congress was the first Congress.
Oh, okay. You know, and I was just thinking as you were talking, I'm going, you know, there's so much about universal energies. And I was talking to somebody the other day who said, he was talking about Chinese medicine, and he goes, well, you have a limited amount of chi. So as you get older and this happens, it's only a matter of time before that happens. And I started thinking about reconnection and that sort of thing. And I went, can we not recreate aspects of our physical by using these techniques? Cannot the energy revitalize what might be an aging system?
See, we don't have a limited amount of chi. I don't agree with that at all.
That's what I want you to say. I wanted you to say that. Thank you.
Yeah. And chi is not something that's contained in the human body. It's a limitless flow through. So whether you call it chi or ki or prana or anything else, life force is our existence in the field. We don't heal the way that we were taught. We don't heal through biochemicals. We are in this field. We are constantly interacting with it. So when you learn reconnective healing as a practitioner, you become one with the field. The person who is receiving this information shares with the field and becomes one with you, and between you, them, and the field, it's the power of three. It's you as the practitioner, the person lying down on the table, and God, love, and the intelligence of the universe vibrating together. We exist in zero-point field, which is limitless. Now, the vibration of our bodies, that's a different question. What we allow of this chi, ki, prana, or whatever you want to call it, of this field, through us, that's something else. So the way reconnective healing works is quite different than those techniques that bring about that limited amount, to think that you only have a limited amount. What it does is it allows your body to return to an optimal vibration, an optimal vibration of light, an optimal resonance with the universe. So just as if you take a tuning fork, You bang it against your palm, it vibrates at a certain level. Let's say you as the reconnective healing practitioner have learned how to vibrate at that level of new aspects of light and information and energy. Then what happens is the person that you are interacting with, they share that vibration with you. They become reminded of their optimal light vibration. They return to that. And at that new vibration of energy, light, and information, it's as if a huge portal opens up. Not a little portal. You become the portal. And the chi, ki, prana, life force, or this field flows through because you are more open to it. See, it has no limit. It has no limit. You impose the limitation by your choice.
I mean, is it by
your
attitude
where
or
limitation
your
is.
Belief and that sort of thing?
Certainly, attitude and belief will affect vibration and frequency. Absolutely. us. Interestingly enough, that's not the whole picture.
Oh, good. I want more of it.
Because these, great, because these healings have nothing to do on another level with belief, attitude, or vibration. When these healings first started, remember, my patients were coming in to see a chiropractor, and I thought I was one. So you couldn't possibly double-blind a study a whole lot better than that. No one had faith, no one had hope, no one had anticipation for this expectation. There's no mind over matter, there's no tap-tap-tap, no hypnosis, no neuro-linguistic programming. It's just like when you set a book down on a desk. The desk will catch the book, and I can pretty much assure you that the book has no belief in the existence of the desk. The desk just is.
That's right.
Reconnective healing frequencies just are. Reconnective healing simply is. So whereas with energy healing approaches, belief and faith help, they're no longer required here. It just is.
Hmm.
But we tend to shut down ourselves sometimes, not so much about believing in reconnective healing, but before we experience reconnective healing. You see, that's the point. Before we experience reconnective healing, our preset belief systems as to lifespan and energy level limit what we allow ourselves to access from the universe.
That's like
once
saying you're almost out of
reach,
right?
Right. Mm-hmm. But once we interact with the reconnective healing frequencies, doorways open up that we just become vessels for it to flow through.
Mm-hmm. What about, do you know, let me see, do you have any experiences with people, for example, who are aging? You know the kind of warehousing of so many older people these days, and it perplexes me. I want to go in and do some sort of helping. But it seems like they could regenerated, can't they?
Of course. There's aging and there's aging.
Mm-hmm.
There's the 67-year-old person who, you know, can't get out of his or her own chair without help. Mm-hmm. And there's the 86-year-old who every Saturday is on the golf course.
Right.
So,
or climbing mountains,
you know,
or doing a triathlon or something.
Exactly. So we correlate aging with a breakdown.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what's interesting about reconnective healing, for example, you could look at it from that aging aspect, because aging is what we think of as entropy. Entropy is a natural tendency for things to age, to break down, ashes to ashes, dust to dust, you know.
Essentially run out of
trees,
heat, right?
Become splinters. Yes.
Yeah.
And what increases entropy is velocity or speed. So, for example, if you take a school bus and you drive it around at standard 35, 45 miles an hour, it'll have a good lifespan when it's designed for. If you race it around at 90 miles an hour, it'll break down sooner. Speed increases entropy, the tendency to break down, to degenerate, to disorganize. Look at speed freaks, you know, people who are taking amphetamines. They age more rapidly.
Yes, they do.
You see it.
Yeah.
But what's interesting about that is that Dr. William Tiller, who was famous among many things, including the Tiller-Einstein model of negative entropy, has shown us that once you pass the speed of light, entropy reverses itself. Degeneration becomes regeneration. Disorganization becomes reorganization. And dis-ease becomes healing or ease. And he has discovered in at least half a dozen studies he's done both independently and with other researchers, that once you interact with the reconnective healing spectrum, the level of, shall we say, free excess or thermodynamic energy in the space you're working in rises to the equivalent of over 572 degrees Fahrenheit. and something reverses itself, the new levels of light. Six studies, by the way, have shown that reconnective healing changes, makes more harmonic and coherent the light that we emit from our DNA. And these new levels of light bring the body past the speed of light from degeneration to regeneration, from disorganization to reorganization, from aging to actually, shall we call it, youthing.
Mm-hmm. Well,
so that,
that's
a big dramatic change, don't you think?
Oh,
you know,
it's a huge change. But what you're telling us is that we're not, it's the belief about being so limited that we can break through, right? We can break out of the entropy thing. I don't think we could just race around in our cars and go faster and faster, though, can we?
No, I don't think that the cars are life force. And I think if you drive them at super high speeds, if they're not designed for that, they might go into entropy. I do recognize that. And we do age and we do break down because we are not designed to live forever.
Right.
We are designed to cycle through multiple lifetimes for different lessons in different ways. But we're also designed here to live our lives healthy and full and in a robust manner. And that's really important. I'll tell you, you know, the majority of our teaching assistants, once they start to work with us for a few months, come back and say, I don't know what's happened. My family all thinks that I've had something done because I look so much younger. Let's say I look 10, 15, 20 years younger. This, by changing the light, it changes the way we reproduce ourselves, including our collagen, our skin tone, our appearance, and the light that comes from our eyes. There is a big difference. This is the year, as I told you, where we're really bringing in big the brand new training program, which is very different from what's going on. You're in where? You're in the Sacramento area?
In L.A. L.A.
Oh, you're down in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, we're going to have four English-speaking seminars basically this year. Of course, every seminar is English-speaking if you just listen to me because I speak all the time. But we'll be doing a training in Sacramento,
okay.
June 26th through the 30th. We'll
all
be
right.
doing a training in Philadelphia, July 24th through 28th, and in Los Angeles, September 11th through 15th. Even London, October 16th through 20th. So it'll be the new trainings for this year that are coming up now.
And how long are the trainings? You said 4 days, is that it?
Yeah, it's usually it starts on a Friday night,
mm-hmm.
and then the basic level one continues on that Saturday and Sunday, and level two continues on that Monday and Tuesday. Reconnective healing is considered to be the forefront of energy healing today. As I said, we're in hospitals, we're in universities, I speak at the United Nations around the globe because the effects are so much more dramatic than what we've been able to access before, and it comes without the need for external. You don't need healing toys or objects, you don't need rituals, you don't need fear-based protections.
Yes.
The woo-woo isn't there any longer. And we used to employ a lot of woo-woo in the healing field because it helped us look and appear special and distinct. I think today we're really here to become brave enough to ask what makes you and I the same instead of what makes me special and different and distinct.
Right.
Because that's a question most of us are afraid to ask. We're afraid that if we recognize that we're all the same, that we'll lose our individuality, our distinction, ultimately that we'll cease to exist. But today I think we're here to recognize how connected we all are, that we're here appearing separate and distinct, just like each ray of the sun appears separate and distinct. But we realize that each ray of the sun is an expression of the sun. It contains an infinite number of holograms of the sun. And if we start to recognize that just like appearing individual rays of the sun, we are here appearing as being separate and distinct individuals, we're really all expressions, full expressions of God, love, and the intelligence of the universe, that we each contain complete holograms of that love and that intelligence. And once we start to recognize that, we can learn to see ourselves in one another. We start to recognize that the bigger gift is understanding that we're part of a greater picture, and we stop looking at what makes us different. We start looking at what makes us the same. We get rid of the t-shirts that say, kiss me, I'm Jewish, kiss me, I'm Irish, kiss me, I'm Catholic, kiss me, I'm Italian. We get some new t-shirts that say, kiss me, I'm you. You know, we start to recognize we are so connected that when just one child cries in one part of the world, 100 children weep in another. When one child laughs, 1,000 children laugh. But our fear of recognizing that we're part of a bigger picture, again, comes from losing our individuality. And we're afraid that if we lose our individuality, we cease to exist, because ultimately, you know, things we tend to view either from a perspective of fear or perspective of love. And we think of fear and love as unrelated opposites, but they're not. Mm-hmm. They're actually highly related, because what is fear except the fear of not being loved, which means what is fear except the fear of not being loved itself? If love itself is our true essence, our true nature, and we all know this inside, mm-hmm. then what we fear most is the fear of not being loved, the fear of not existing.
Well, I think we fear of not being the love we know should be innate and should be our, I think what you're saying makes me feel like we're brinking on an evolution of really claiming our unity, our oneness, but an ability to step into a much more self-designing reality. Is that right, would you say?
Yes, we are here coming in the mask, the disguise of being individuals, to learn the answers that we are all one. So why aren't we all told that we are all one? Why don't we come in with that understanding from the beginning? Because this earth plane, I believe, is the plane for us to make discoveries, that our growth comes not so much from the answers that we find, as it comes from the seeking of the answers. Mm. We're in a different vibration here. We have a density here that comes from gravity. We vibrate at a slower level, for example. You know, because we're here to experience through touch and through emotion, which very well may not be how we learn and experience on different planes.
Yeah, I think that's probably true. What about karma? What do you think about subconscious and past life and other little edicts that run our behavior and so on? Can a lot of that, are we stepping out of those things these days, and reconnective healing, can it not help us out of those relentless pursuits that we make on different levels?
Well, first of all, when we say karma, we all have our own different ideas of what karma is.
Yes, we do.
So for a lot of people, karma is what, you know, what goes around comes around, and you did this, so now you're going to get that. And then if we listen to people such as Deepak Chopra and others, we find that we're really in a time where we are transcending karma far more rapidly. So it's sort of like if you take a dirty rag and you dip it in the river and you dip it again, you dip it again, you dip it again, it gets cleaner and cleaner and cleaner. But understanding our lessons, we tend to transcend karma in that old way of thought where we might have been tied into it before. If you speak to people who have had life after death experiences, or who have studied people with life after death experiences, you tend to find that our lessons come when we return to that light that we all come from, that we all return to. Mm-hmm. And really what happens is at that light, our lives are laid out before us, and we get to experience all the emotions, during human life that we brought to others. All the happiness, all the upset, all the anger. We're not judged. We, in essence, evaluate and understand ourselves from going through that experience. So was it always that way here on Earth? I don't know. But I know that the concept of karma, among the great teachers in these fields, has changed, that we don't tend to look at it as that slow process or that process that we've been chained to any longer.
Mm-hmm. I really believe that, but I really think that when you're talking about reconnective healing, that it is kind of evidential of an evolution. You know what I mean? So we can totally be free of all of those old, what did you call them? The techniques and the rules. Basically, the whole karma thing is about that too, isn't it?
Well, because we flow more fluidly today. Mm-hmm. So let's look, for example, how old thought from energy healing techniques raises its little head every once in a while. And people will say, well, with reconnective healing, this person came in and they had a birth defect. So they were supposed to go through life with that birth defect. They weren't supposed to be able to walk without a big limp. And it was causing their spine to curve and they were in a lot of pain. And they even had to take medication for the pain. And maybe their lessons would be from taking medication or from living through it. But they needed to have that experience of this lifetime. And they have reconnective healing, and now their spine is straightened out. They have no more pain. They have no more limp. It was a birth deformity. And you probably took their lesson away from them and took their karma away from them. What that person doesn't understand is that no one can change anyone's karma for them except that person itself. You can't do anything to affect my karma. Only I can. But at this new, that thinking is coming from when we've only had energy healing. Reiki and Qigong and Alpha, Beta, Delta, Gamma and Quantum this and Mattress that and all those AEFG, XYZ healing technique approaches and working with energy, and people were still trapped in their karma concept. But at this level of healing, it's a full return to balance. You can't have a physical healing without healing and balancing mentally, emotionally, spiritually, life course-wise. Everything comes into a greater balance. Mm. So what happens is you don't take someone's lesson away. The intelligence of the universe says, receive this healing, and your healing, mentally, spiritually, emotionally, as well as physically, all come to you at once, and maybe we don't have to experience our healings always, even emotional lessons, on a conscious level. Oftentimes, our lessons are received on a cellular, energetic level, and we suddenly find that we don't have to carry that burden any longer. Haven't you ever just had times in your life where you've woken up and said, this vibration is different, I feel different? And suddenly you've started to walk down a different course or a path on your life, and you're not even sure how you got it, how you did it. Did you get the insight in a dream? Did you get the insight inside? Did you have a communication during a meditation that you weren't even aware that you were meditating because you were just driving and not conscious with yourself? You suddenly gained a lesson. You suddenly stepped into a new level of being. We don't have to flagellate ourselves any longer. We don't
Thank
have to punish
God.
Ourselves. Yeah, we don't have to process and re-experience abusive relationships and other things to get better from them. We are no longer living in the no pain, no gain, gotta get worse before you get better times.
Yeah.
Some people are trying to hold themselves there, but we're not there.
That because they're being responsible. Tell me what light and information means. That's such a wonderful phrase, and I love it, and I just love you to express it a little more.
Well, let's look at light. because this light is more coherent. What's coherence? Well, science defines more coherent as more harmonic.
Okay.
So think, for instance, let's use light bulbs because they're more of this plane.
Okay.
You know, when Edison invented the light bulb, he invented what was considered the incandescent light. You know, and it was relatively smooth and easy to work with, you know, and light bulbs, you know, like Ford uses the standard design of a light bulb, for Ford has a better idea, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But then at some point, what did we create? Fluorescent lights. Fluorescent lights were those long tubes that we put into, you know, most office spaces and things like that. That started ending up correlating, causing, I don't know, however you want to put it, people to end up with headaches during the day,
mm-hmm.
higher sickness, you know, more time at home, less productivity, children to have learning difficulties in school, throwing off women's natural menstrual cycles, all these different things because that light was far less coherent
okay.
or harmonic
okay.
than the incandescent light bulbs that we were used to.
Mm-hmm.
And oddly enough, what I'm not at all thrilled with is the fact that I believe the U.S. government has just made it relatively illegal to have the standard incandescent lights. I don't know whose pocket's getting lined with what, but that's not really exciting.
I didn't understand. They've made it illegal to do what?
I think they've stopped producing the incandescent lighting, and most people have to find other forms, which is a shame because it's the fluorescent lighting that we really need to get rid of.
Wow.
They tried to fix fluorescent lighting by making it full spectrum, but that wasn't, you know, always the best either.
Mm.
Anyhow, now what do we understand? Well, we understand sunlight. Sunlight is far more natural, balanced, and coherent than the light bulbs that we produce. What we only found out recently through the work of Dr. Fritz Popp in Germany and others, you know, following his work and expanding upon it, is that the DNA in each of our cells emits levels of light that is far more natural and coherent than what we're talking about the light bulbs. This allows us to vibrate at a better balance level and allows our bodies to heal, because we used to think that healing came through biochemicals, but today we understand it comes through light. And of course, the most coherent light, most likely, is that light that we all return to in between lifetimes. But, you know, without being able to measure and study that supposition.
Mm-hmm.
So we have an analogy for that. You know, there's digital sound and there's analog sound.
Right.
Digital sound, we always thought was sharper, because it was contrasting little jerks, but it caused problems with the brain, little jerk, 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 jerk movement. That's why people are moving back towards analog sound. It's smoother and more natural, more coherent, more harmonic. So six international studies have shown that reconnective healing restructures, reharmonizes, reconnects our DNA in a certain way where the light is more harmonic and more coherent, which allows for better, more instantaneous healings to come through. And the light communicates information. Information does not need to be as limited as verbal information. We know that whenever we have a conversation with another human being, it's generally agreed upon that 95% of that communication is nonverbal. But again, what happens when you set a glass of water down on your kitchen table? What supports the glass? It's the communication between the molecules in the glass and the molecules in the table. Those aren't words either. So what allows us to understand our natural balancing state is the nonverbal communication carried in the light.
Hmm. And my next question is, the digital, for example, the lack of coherence in certain kinds of influences that we all have, have you had any experiences where you can bring coherence back in using reconnective healing, even though it's coming through from an electronic piece of equipment?
Well, you see, reconnective healing works with life. So it's optimizing the coherence and the balance in life.
Right.
And in the life forms, in the living beings. So it pays no attention to was it caused by a machine or a light bulb.
Okay.
Can you overcome things? Sure, you can overcome things. You know, I worked with a famous singer one time, let's say, in Argentina, who had been in the hospital for a couple of years because he had some problems experimenting with designer drugs, and ended up in a coma.
Okay.
So the family said, would you come do a healing? Because many people with reconnective healing often come out of their comas and return to a greater level of consciousness.
Wow, that's exciting.
So I went down to see him. Well, yeah, but in this situation, when I went to see the person, I found out that he was already, not already, that he was being forcibly kept by tubes, drugs, and chemicals to keep him in the coma because the medical doctors didn't want him out of the coma. So obviously, reconnective healing could help balance him.
Well, they didn't want him to come out of the coma. Were they keeping him in a medically induced coma? Is that
they? Yeah, they were keeping him in a medically induced coma. They were afraid that if he came out of the coma, it might be too much, I think, for his lungs, if I recall correctly. So they didn't want him to come out of it. So, you know, I could do reconnective healing and optimize his body to deal with his situation. But if the situation is that you're continuously on a stream of drugs to keep you in a coma, well, then there's a really good chance those drugs are going to keep you in a coma.
Mm-hmm.
You could do reconnective healing and regain the use of your arms and your legs and walk and move just fine. But if a piano falls on you, well, you know, a piano just fell on you.
Right.
So we have to realize that we've got
some
external inducements as well.
Did you ever help our singer?
Things.
Did you ever help the singer who was in the medically induced coma? Were you able to at all?
I'm sure he was helped. But did he come out of the coma? No.
Okay.
He stayed on those drugs and they kept him in that coma. So there are some things. There are certain extremes. If you're going to come back into a state of balance and health where you're able to deal with the external toxins in the environment, for example, better, that's great. But also, if you spend your life with your mouth on the exhaust pipe of a public city bus, then that's going to cause a problem. So, in other words, understand extremes.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying.
The point is that there are extremes to things.
Well, I find the whole thing very exciting, and we have to draw this to a close, unfortunately. But I'm very, very excited about your work, and it's continuing over and over, isn't it?
It is going on nonstop. As I said, we're giving four fully English-speaking seminars this year. We're doing Sacramento, June 26th through 30, for those of you who want to learn to attend there.
Mm-hmm.
We're teaching in Philadelphia, July 24th through 28, Los Angeles, September 11th through 15, the infinite September 11th in Los Angeles, and London will be October 16th through the 20th.
Wow. Well, this is very wonderful. So you're really helping people receive an evolutionary existence these days, it seems to me. Thank you, Dr. Eric Pearl. You're just a delightful interviewee and a great helper.
Thank you so much. Thank you. I appreciate that. I'm glad I was just able to get off of the stage, scrape back into my hotel room and take this call to do this interview. So I'm glad we were able to do it. And now I'm going to eat a very late dinner.
Well, I hope you have a little fun in Portugal while you're there. And thank you for your time.
I will. Thank you so much.
Take care.
All right, take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.